Kavod Shadi, you should enjoy. Okay, thank you to Josh and Elise for inviting us in, for providing us with beautiful food. I once heard from this Tuchina Rabbi that a person who hesitates to eat in public because of whatever reasons, it's a small form of avodah zarah. So whatever that means, whatever the tzaddikim meant by that, but don't be shy. Everyone should. You should eat. You shouldn't hesitate. Yeah, some people have that issue more than others. But, you know, Shlomo Freifeld, when he used to, when people would share Torah, when he would share Torah, he was very makdib that there shouldn't be eating during that part of the Kiddush. And then, like when the Rav would share Torah, he felt people shouldn't eat. But here, everyone should eat. Encourage everyone to eat and enjoy. And make a bracha and thank the Creator of the world. That's what we're here to do. I was thinking, you know, if only we were to gain from all of our learning, spending 45 minutes every week just thinking about Hashem, even if we don't understand everything the Chol HaSalavavah says, and even if we don't internalize everything the Chol HaSalavavah says, but the fact that we have a chabur of people get together to think about Hashem and to try to challenge ourselves to be more God-conscious for 45 minutes a week is a very good thing. I hope people are feeling that a little bit in their lives. And hopefully the more we do, the more that'll become a reality. Okay, so let's take it from page 281 in the handouts, five lines from the bottom. And we started to mention last time the comparisons and the differences between the Baal Bitachon and the alchemist. The alchemist is a person, we'll have to see how authentic he is, but the alchemist apparently has the ability to take cheap metals and to turn them into silver and into gold. And in a certain sense, he has everything he needs. Because he can make money. He can print his own money. He can make gold. However, says the Chovas Alavavos, there are 10 advantages of the Baal Bitachon over the alchemist. Now, we're going to present them as not being mutually exclusive. Although, again, it could be there are fine differences between. We don't have the time to pick apart and say, wait a minute, number 3 sounds a little bit like number 8. Because we're not going to get into the fine nuances. We're just going to go through the list more quickly. But again, it's a very strong way for us to remind ourselves of even the person who has it all, this alchemist who, again, is set in terms of his parnasa. He has everything that he needs in terms of his financial means, right? But there's no guarantees. And there's no guarantees for a person who's operating. Even this alchemist is using something which is a little bit lamala min hateva in terms of the normal way a person comes to financial success. But again, there's no guarantees, as we'll see. Okay, so let's run through the list of the 10 ways in which the Baal Bitachon is better off than the alchemist. Tchilasam. Everyone see where we are? 5 lines from the bottom, page 281. Tchilasam shabal hakimia tzarech lidvar miyuchadim al malacha. First of all, the alchemist needs certain materials in order to carry out his malacha. Lo yugmar lo davar zulasam. And he can't do anything without them. He can turn, like we said last time, he can turn copper or tin into gold, but he needs copper and tin. If he doesn't have the ingredients with which to create his product, so then he's stuck. And it's not found in all places at all times. He might be missing a simple cheap ingredient, which again, he has the koach to turn it into gold, but if he doesn't have the basic materials, he's stuck. However, the one who believes in Hashem, he will have his food supplied for him in any way, in every way. I mean, he doesn't have to be concerned that I'm in a situation or I'm in a place where the materials are not available to me. Man doesn't live by bread alone. Rather, whatever a Kodesh Baruch Hu motzi pi Hashem yichya adam. Now, we said last time that the motzi pi Hashem, the way that Rizal understood it, is that when a person says a bracha, it's really the motza pi Hashem. It's when he talks about Hashem in the context of eating that food that really gives him chias, more so than the food that he's eating. Did I tell the story of the Rebbe with the apple? The tzaddik with the apple? There was a tzaddik who one time, I think they said about the Rebbe of Karlin, that one of the chassidim came to the Rebbe and said, you know, Rebbe, I have a taina. Maybe it's chutzpahdik to say, but I don't see why you're a Rebbe and I'm the chassid. What makes you a rabbi and I'm a chassid? I see, Rabbi, I see that you eat an apple in the morning. I also eat an apple in the morning. So what makes you the rabbi and me the chassid? I see you make a bracha on the apple. I also make a bracha on the apple. So what makes you the rabbi and I'm just a regular chassid? So the Rebbe says to him, he says, here's the difference between us. And tell me if I'm right. The Rebbe said, you enjoy eating apples. True? He says, yeah, I enjoy it. Beautiful. Delicious part of Hashem's bria. Okay, good. And you know that you're obviously an Erlichi, and you know you can't eat an apple unless you make a bracha. So you make a bracha in order to be able to eat the apple. Am I correct? He says, yeah, Rebbe, that's true. So Rebbe says, so here's the difference between you and me. You make a bracha as a hechatimsa, as a heter to eat the apple because you want to eat the apple. He says, I don't really like apples that much. I'm not even in the mood to eat an apple, but I like making the bracha eitz. I like being acknowledged. I like being able to acknowledge the Kadosh Baruch Hu. I can't just make the bracha eitz on nothing. That's a bracha levatala. So I eat an apple in order to make eitz. That's the difference between the two of us. Right? You make a bracha to eat the apple, and I eat an apple to be able to make a bracha. That's the difference between the two of us. Right? So a person sometimes thinks, you know, the bracha is a heter for me to eat. But tzaddikim, they only eat because they want to make brachos. So that's the way Arizal explains the pasuk. It's not the bread which sustains a person, but it's the fact that the bread becomes a means to mention a Kadosh Baruch Hu's name. Al motza pi Hashem yechi adam. But the way that the Targum Yonasan explains it, and the way that I think the Chovas Halavavos is using it here, is that whatever man doesn't have to be sustained by bread alone. If Hashem wants you to eat anything, it could work. Tell Maisa with the Divrei Chaim. Someone came to the Divrei Chaim, he had a terrible stomach problem. So the Divrei Chaim said, you should drink vinegar. You should drink vinegar? Yeah, you should drink vinegar. Like, drink it? Yeah, drink it. Get a bottle of vinegar and drink it. That's going to heal my stomach problem? Yeah, Rebbe said 100%. Okay. The fellow drinks, you know, he's downing vinegar. That becomes like his meal every day. He's drinking vinegar 3 times a day, whatever it was. And Taka, he's feeling better. It's unbelievable. So his friend hears... His friend hears about this situation. His friend says, you know, my stomach's bothering me also. The Rebbe said, drink vinegar? Yeah. I heard from the Rebbe, you should drink vinegar. Okay, so his friend goes ahead and he also starts drinking vinegar. And Mamish makes him terribly sick. So he comes to the Rebbe and he says, I don't understand. I heard that you recommended drinking vinegar. My friend drank the vinegar and it worked. And I drank the vinegar and it made me sicker. So the Divrei Chaim says, no, I don't understand. It only works if I tell you. If the Rebbe's not mitzvah you to do it, it doesn't. Then you're crazy. A crazy person drinks vinegar for a stomach. Right? But once the Rebbe has Motzi Pi Hashem, once the Rebbe is a conduit, you know, to bring that bracha to you, so then lav dafka, you know, there's a right medicine and a wrong medicine. Rebbe Tzin Machlis, when she would give her child a cookie, when the kid wanted the cookie, and she didn't want really to give a cookie because she wanted the child to eat something more healthy, again, I don't remember if I mentioned this in one of the earlier shirim, she would daven Hashem, please make the cookie healthy. Make the cookie healthy. The cookie's not healthy. Right? But Hashem, you decide. Who says what foods are healthy and what foods are not healthy? Who says what products that you put in your body are nourishing and which ones are poisonous and destructive? Who's to say? So lo alechem levadu yechi adam. So the alchemist says, I need certain things in order to produce the gold. And if I'm missing one ingredient, I'm stuck. Hashem's never stuck. If Hashem says, take a handful of dirt off the ground and eat it, and you'll be nourished by it, that'll work. Hashem can turn anything into food. Right? That's what the Targum Yonasan says. I'll call motza pi Hashem. Whatever Hashem declares is food. You're used to eating bread. You think bread nourishes and eating rocks and dirt makes you sick, obviously. Okay, there's a teva. But Hashem's not bound by them. The Baal Bitachon lives beyond the rules of the natural order. So he's not stuck. He's never stuck. Right? He's never stuck. Yeah, Yossi, you wanted to say something? By the way, just one of the rules for the Chabur. You're allowed to ask questions. You're allowed to offer comments. I want to be clear about that.
Isn't it like borderline like a nace when a Rebbe tells you to do something?
It is. It is. And you have to have bitachon and tzaddikim, which is a byproduct of having bitachon and Hashem. Ve'aminu b'Hashem uv'moshe avdo. So believing in the tzaddik is a form of tzaddikim amitim, is a form of believing in Hashem. And it is b'derech nace somewhat. Right? Or you could say it's a different form of, right? That's a good question in general. Right, is the Chovas Halavavos telling us to live miraculously? Or is he telling us that there are multiple planes of existence where there's what we call teva in the simplest sense? Is teva really teva? Not to get all philosophical for a second, but is nature even natural? The Chazon Ish said there's nothing natural about nature. We're just used to it. The Chazon Ish said what we call teva are just miracles that Hashem performs regularly. So the fact that there's a sun in the sky, right, that's very precisely positioned, in its distance from Earth, if it was farther away, we'd freeze over. And if it was too close, we'd be burnt to a crisp. The fact that there's a massive ball of fire that's floating in the sky, and we don't think that's a big deal, is because we're used to it. So there's no teva about that. There's wonders all around us. The wonder of the birth of a child. Okay, obviously, if it's your own child, you're able to pause for a moment and say, wow, this is a real miracle. But we know that there are countless children being born into the world every day, and none of us say, well, my gosh, there's open miracles taking place all around the world today. What do you mean? There's a process here. There's a natural order of things. So the Chazon Ish said, we call it nature, but it's really just miracles that we've become used to. So there's different planes of existence. I don't know what to call nature and what to call supernatural. Is believing in tzaddikim supernatural, or that's part of the Bria? If the Divrei Chaim of Sanz tells you to do something that your doctor might say is a little wacky, the Divrei Chaim is just tapping into another plane of existence. Again, Lav Dafka has to be called miraculous, you know? The Gemara says in Avodah Zarah on Daf Beis, it says, Ein Zos El HaTorah. The word Zos is a code word for Torah. V'Zos HaTorah, Sher Sam Osha. Ein Zos El HaTorah. Whatever it means in the context of that Gemara. So the Bnei Sasso explains, based on earlier Tzaddikim, that Zos represents two tracks in how a person sees the world. There's the Zion track, right? Zos, Zion, Aleph, Tav. So there's the Zion track. There's the Zion track. Zion means seven. Seven means the natural order of things, 7 days of the week, 7 years in a Shemitah cycle, seven cycles of seven in a Yovel cycle. Seven represents the natural order. There's many, many, many examples, both in terms of Torah examples and what we would call secular examples. Our brains are trained to operate in terms of the number seven. There's seven numbers in your phone number, and that was, again, based on the human mind. There's seven notes in the musical scale. Seven represents Teva. And then there's a higher order, right? So the Bnei Yisrael explains, based on, again, earlier Tzaddikim, I think the Magid of Mezrich said this, maybe the Kashrut Magid, I think for sure said this, that there's Zion, which is seven, the natural order, right? Natural order of seven. And then there's Aleph through Taf. Aleph through Taf represents the letters of creation, which are the osios of the Torah. And a person basically chooses what track you want to live on. Do I want to live in the perfectly natural order? The way that the Chovos Levavos began is psicha. Do I want to hand myself over to my boss or to my doctor or to the natural order? Or do I choose to see things and live differently? I can choose the Zion track, or I could choose the Aleph to Tav track. I could choose a Torah reality, or I could choose what a secular person would call, a scientific reality, a natural order. So again, what's nature and what's miracle? I guess there's a fine line when you start to study it more deeply. But the way he's bringing the pasuk is, who says you need bread to survive? The chemist needs certain things to produce whatever it is that he's producing in his lab, right? But the Baal Bitachon is not bound by that order. Because the causes, the things that he needs are not, or what Hashem chooses to be, is not limited to any place or any time. Like Eliyahu HaNavi, who was a bit stranded, had nothing to eat, and Hashem sent ravens to give him food. Or Eliyahu's encounter with the Isha Almana also, where Hashem provided her with much more food than she naturally had. That Eliyahu on Har Carmel was given. Right? Really unbelievable things, amazing things. Kadosh Baruch Hu has ways of supplying people with food in a completely lamala minateva way. Okay? Okay, good. Fine. He gives another example from Obadiah, how he took care of 150 Nevi'im and he gave them food. And therefore he says there's no guarantees. He says in the fifth line, that's why the Pasuk says, Kfirim Rashu V'ra'evu, sometimes young, strong lions are left hungry. V'darshe Hashem L'yachzru Kol Tov. And a person who believes in Hashem, who's not such a savvy businessman, has what he needs because he trusts in Hashem. Yiras Hashem kidoshav kiin machzer lirayav. Okay, so that's the first difference between the alchemist and the Baal Bitachon. V'hasheni, the second difference. Ki baal hakamiya tzarech l'maisim v'lamalachos. Not only does he need the materials, does he need the products in order to produce whatever it is he's producing, right? But the chemist also needs to perform certain activities in order to make it happen. He needs to combine the ingredients, so to speak, in the right order. I need to perform certain procedures in order to make it happen. Lo yishlam lo chefso zulasam. Nothing's going to happen if he leaves all the ingredients in the jar, in their individual jars, right? So it's not going to produce the scientific result. Ve'efsher shiamisu reicham. And sometimes there's dangers involved, right? Maybe there are strong scents that are given off that could be poisonous. Ve'ashanam, and there's smoke. Yimhasmadas havoda. Over time, all of the work-related damage to his lungs could cause, God forbid, who knows what. If he's busy in his lab day and night producing, so who knows how sick he's going to become from inhaling different fumes, etc., etc. But a person who trusts in Hashem has a much safer work environment. He's protected from harm. And he's secure from any type of negativity or evil or destructive things encountering him. And his life is mamish, great, everything's great. There's no secondary damage from a life of amun and bitachon. And again, he doesn't come home smelling like the various materials that he used in order to produce his results. Right? He goes to work and he goes about his day with menucha and peace of mind. And again, we said that's the main indicator of the Baal Bitachon. As the Pasuk says, Binos Desha Yarbitzeni, Amei Menuchos Yinahaleni. Again, a very blissful picture of the Baal Bitachon. Vashlishi, and the third difference is, Kibala Kamiya Eino Mamin Asodo Lizulaso. The Baal Kamiya is scared to reveal his secrets to others. He's got a secret recipe. If he reveals a secret recipe, someone else might steal his business. Miyaraso Al Nafsho. He's scared, right? I don't think he's scared he's going to be killed at this point. We'll get to that later. The physical threat to him. But he's scared that he's going to lose his business. Someone else will steal his technique. But a person who believes in God, he's not afraid to share his secret. Believe in Hashem and things will work out for you as well. He's not afraid of any person stealing his relationship with Hashem. He's very proud of it. He takes tremendous pride in his relationship with Hashem. And he wants others to know about it. David HaMelech says, I trust in Hashem, I have nothing to worry about. No one can steal my business. Hashem has enough to go around, and therefore he doesn't have to, again, he's not fighting for clients, he's not protecting his recipe, his secret recipe. He's happy to share his knowledge of belief in God with anyone and everyone. Harivi, the fourth difference. The chemist also, he struggles to figure out how much of each thing to own at any one time. What's the problem if he has too much inventory? Well, if he's too wealthy, he's going to become a target for robbers. And if he doesn't have enough, so sometimes when he's trading and he's doing business, he just simply doesn't have. So he's not sure, ordering his ingredients in the right measure, maintaining his stock in the right measure. He doesn't want to be understocked. He doesn't want to be overstocked. Right? That presents certain dangers of people trying to target him for his wealth. And he's living constantly with this nervousness of too much or too little. Sometimes he just has a little bit, but then he runs out. If he prepares a lot, so then he's constantly threatened. What's going to happen to me? He's carrying around a lot of money. What if I lose it? What if someone finds out about it and tries to rob me or to harm me? And he lives with constant fear. What if the king finds out that I've got this lab in my basement, right? I'm going to get in big trouble, as we'll see a little bit later. But if he doesn't have enough to do business, then he's also stuck. And he's also short. He's shorthanded. El malus machzor is manmud. If he only has enough inventory to provide for a little bit of time, so by the time he's ready to get more ingredients, again he doesn't have. After she yibatzer mi menu hamaisa beisatzar chagadol elav, a big client comes to him and says, I need X amount. He says, I don't have what to trade with you. Because of whatever deficiency that he's facing in that moment. But a person who trusts in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's never overstocked, he's never understocked. He always has exactly what he's supposed to have. And that gives him tremendous yeshiva das in living his life. Boteach belokim, bitchono chazak belokim, sheyatrif oso kirtzono, beis sheyirtzov, amakom sheyirtzov, Hashem will supply him with his food, with his sustenance, at the time that he needs, at the place that he needs. Again, we've seen some of the ideas in the earlier ones, but they're not mutually exclusive, necessarily. Kasher yatrif, now look at what he compares it to. Kasher yatrif ha'ubar berecham imo. Like a fetus in its mother's womb. Very dependent. Doesn't can't go to the store and buy more if it's hungry. Right? And yet, somehow, in that tightly enclosed environment, Hashem and the mother, right, are able to supply the child with its nutrients. Or have an even more interesting example. Ha'efroach b'soch ha'beitza. How about the unhatched chick within the egg? How does it survive? How does it get what it needs? The mother sits on it, and now it has food. What happens? How does that work? All right, how is it provided for? Asher ein ba makom befulas liyichanei salamimeno davar michutza. Now I'm sure science has a lot of explanations, right? And the zoologist could tell us maybe a lot more about this. But as simple people, we kind of wonder. Hold on, the egg is closed. How does something survive in there? How does something develop in there? Va'of ba'avir, and the bird in the sky, the dung in bayam. Right? Where is there enough supply for everything in the world? And how does it get it at exactly the right time? Va'namala katanim chalishusa. And what about the weak little ant that seems to have all of its food provided for it? V'yibatzer ha'teref me'ari im takfo b'ksas hayamim. Right? And sometimes a lion, no matter how strong it is, can't get what it needs. So who's to say who's going to have and who's not going to have? You have environments where it looks like it's impossible to survive, and yet the chick in the egg survives, and the baby in the mother's womb survives. And the fierce lion sometimes dies of hunger. Again, kfir imrashu v'raiv uvedar shem loyasu kol tov. There's no guarantees. Your strength is not a guarantee. The lion's strength is not a guarantee. V'amar lo yariv Hashem nefesh tzaddik. The tzaddik doesn't go hungry. So again, a person who has bitachon, well, Hashem will find a way to get you what you need. Your job is just to continue to believe in Hashem with menuchas and nefesh to the best of your ability, and to look forward to that salvation, to hope for that salvation. I had this chus this past year in YU. We were learning three mornings a week. We were learning to say for Lekan Amar from Rabbi Yaakov Meir Shechter. Rabbi Shechter is one of the Gedolei Breslov in Yerushalayim, very, very big tzaddik, and a person who suffered a lot in his own private life. Really a big person, a very, very special human being. So one of my friends called me this week, and he's been listening to the shiurim online, to these shiurim, and he told me a story that he heard from a fellow who knew Rabbi Yaakov Meir Shechter when he was a bit younger. He was a contemporary, so he was able to ask him straight up. He said, Rabbi Yaakov Meir, he said, you know, how do you do it? How do you maintain your Simchas HaChaim? As an outsider, it appears to me that you have a lot of difficulty in your life. His wife's not particularly well, and he has children who have different things. He has a lot of tzaras. What we would call, again, as outsiders, a lot of tzaras. And yet his disposition towards life is very good. He's able to maintain a certain menuchas nefesh, a certain equilibrium. That's just very obvious that you're in the presence of a tzaddik. How do you do it? And he said the following line. I think it's such an important hagdara in this whole topic that we've been learning. Rabbi Yaakov Meir said, tzaros, I have a lot of. I have a lot of tzaros. He says, but daiga, but worry, I don't have. I think that's such an important and healthy outlook. You don't have to pretend, right? As we mentioned from the Chazon Ish, a person doesn't have to pretend that the situation is comfortable. A person who's going through an illness, a person who's out of a job, a person who's dealing with a child who's giving them a lot of trouble at home, or a person who's struggling to have children, right? The particular situation in which one finds himself can be very difficult, and it can cause a person tsar, it could be uncomfortable. But I don't have to be panicked. And that's the indicator of the Baal Bitachon. That's what Yaakov Meir said. He said, tsaros I have, difficulties I have, but I'm not nervous, I'm not worried about it. I don't feel abandoned by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I don't see my life as being random. Do I have the easiest life? It's not the easiest life. And I'm not a heretic for saying that. It's not a lack of bitachon to say that. It's not the easiest life. But I'm not worried because I walk with Hashem. And I think that's such a beautiful way for a person to look at it. Right? To be able to have the confidence that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to provide for me. The tzaddik is not mavakish lachem. He's not scrounging around for bread. That doesn't mean that the person shouldn't go to work. That's not what we're arguing here. Right? There is something called hishtadlus. Again, we don't really understand how that balance is struck at this point, but there is such a thing called hishtadlus. We can assume that's an okay level for us. But it's the excessive worrying. It's the excessive bikush, right? Seeking out new ways to try to get more, to get better. You have to do your part. But you have to do it with menuchas nefesh. And if the job didn't work out, or if this opportunity didn't work out, you have to know it's not random. It's not by chance. So why are you killing yourself over it? Why are you making yourself sick over it? I read you an amazing line from the Bnei Yisachar in the Sefer Derech Pekudecha. Derech Pekudecha is the Bnei Yisachar Sefer on the mitzvos. And very interesting how he breaks down the mitzvos into subcategories, all b'derech chasidus and pnimius. So in mitzvos lo sa'aseh lamed dalid, shalo laharog nefesh, not to kill. He divides it into chelak ha'maisa, chelak ha'dibor. In the chelak ha'dibor os dalid, he says there are subcategories of murder. What are some of the subcategories of murder? So he says, well, excessive eating or excessive unhealthy eating is a subcategory of murder. What right do you have to eat unhealthy things? Okay, certainly in excessive quantities. Okay, a couple of sour sticks once in a while has a place. Nachas v'shalom, right? Yeah, a person has to, okay, to enjoy. But again, when a person doesn't make a cheshbon and a person just eats whatever is tasty without any you know, cheshbon or nefesh, this is unhealthy and can become dangerously unhealthy. So then you're that's suicidal, and you're going to be held accountable for it. He calls that an abazrayu, a subcategory of los yirtzach. Don't kill yourself by eating unhealthy things. He says a person who has uncontrollable taivas, when it comes to taivas nashim, right? That also takes a toll on the body, and that also becomes a chazal si. The person who's too involved in acts of intimacy, also it drains the body. And it's also, again, the makom mitzvah, it's appropriate between husband and wife in the right way, in the right time. It has a place. Right? But anything excessive, that's suicidal. It's harmful to yourself. And then he writes, V'cheinu metzaris atzmo v'doeg shalom b'makom mitzvah. A person, right? Stress kills a person. Being stressed out can kill a person. And if you're worrying about things that are rooted in a lack of bitachon, so then that's, you're held accountable for that. You're in violation of lo sirtzach. If it's atzma b'chayitzar, a person who afflicts himself with a life of pain by being overly concerned about things that are beyond your control, right? Machmas kilus v'kamtzanus, because he's too cheap, he's too stingy, he's too nervous. He's always worried. He's always worried about what if we don't have enough money for this? What if we don't have enough money for that? Hey, you're not talking about a person who's you know, in moderation is being responsible with his money, with his savings. But a person who lives with constant anxiety, right, about monetary things. It could be a person who has money in the bank. And a person's constantly worried. Right? What if this? What if that? Where's your bitachon? Where's your bitachon? Hashem's gonna get it's gonna whatever's gonna be is gonna be. Your job is not to stress. And he says, "Demali kotle v'chulu." Right? What difference does it matter? What difference does it make if a person, God forbid, kills himself in a moment or kills himself slowly? This is a form of murder. You're murdering yourself by being anxious, by being nervous about things that are rooted in a lack of amun and bitachon. So therefore, again, a person who has bitachon, he's not panicked, he's not anxious, he's not nervous. A lot of these examples of the Chovas Levavos here is about, again, where am I going to get my food? Where am I going to get my sustenance? In the modern age, how am I going to make a living? Is the question that he's addressing. And again, he's pointing out the advantages of the Baal Bitachon over the alchemist. Now, we've mentioned the last two shiurim, some Torahs from Rav Asher Weiss in the Minchas Asher on Amun and Bitachon. So I want to learn together just a little bit of the fifth piece, again, in this beautiful Sefer. If you want to pick it up, it is available in local Judaica stores. Minchas Asher of Asher Weiss, Shlita on Emunah Bitachon. Okay, in the fifth piece, he titles the piece on a, based on a pasuk in Tehillim Nun Hey. Hashleich al Hashem Yahavcha v'hu yichal kalecha. Throw your burden onto Hashem. Hashleich al Hashem Yahavcha. Throw your burden onto Hashem, and Hashem will supply you with your needs. And he begins by quoting from Rabbeinu Bachai on Chumash, which is different than Rabbeinu Bachai in Pekuda, the author of Chumash Lavavos. Rabbeinu Bachai on Chumash says, in Parshas Beshalach, we have a Kabbalah Biyad Chachamim, that anyone who says Parshas Haman every day is guaranteed that they won't be lacking in mizamos. They'll have food. If you say Parshas Haman, anyone here say Parshas Haman every day? Anyone? Okay, none of us. Good. Okay. Okay, and then the Tuesday of Parshas B'Shalach, the emails start going around. Don't forget to say Parshas Saman. Don't forget to say Parshas Saman. Yeah? Says Rabbeinu Bachai in Parshas B'Shalach, Kabbalah B'Yad Chacham, if you say Parshas Saman every day, then what? Then you're guaranteed. You're guaranteed to have your Parnassah. The Mishnah Berurah brings it B'Shem the Yerushalmi. Others bring it in the name of the Tashbetz. Okay, the Aruch HaShulchan says, I haven't found this Yerushalmi. Rabbeinu Bachai calls it, he says, Kabbalah Biyad Chacham. It explains Rav Asher Weiss, it's not just the style of Rav Asher Weiss, it's not just a segula. It's not just saying something, you know, metaphysical happens. It's not a magic trick. Saying Parshas Haman orients a Jew to think in the right way. Saying Parshas Haman reminds a Jew what it means to live with Hashem. And a person who lives with Hashem, lo ra'isi tzadik nezav azar mevakesh lachem, a person who understands what the man is. There's a great story someone once shared with me. Matisyahu Salomon, I don't know if he was giving a shiur in some office in the city, and they were davening mincha. And it was the Tuesday of Parshas B'Shalach. Matisyahu Salomon, the mashkiach from Lakewood. So anyway, so there was a young businessman there who was saying Parshas Haman. And some older Jewish gentleman who was standing behind them saw this young fellow saying Parshas Haman, right? And he saw he was saying it with, you know, tremendous fervor, trying to win the lottery. And this older gentleman said to him, he said, "Oh, Parshas Haman." He says, yeah, Parshas Haman. He says, "I've been saying it for 50 years, garnished helfen. You're wasting your time." So Rav Matisyahu overheard this. Rav Matisyahu said, "Garnished helfen doesn't help." He said, "Let me ask you a question." He says, let me ask you. He says, "You're a married person?" He says, "Yeah." He says, "You have children?" "Yeah." He says, "You know, how many times, 50 years?" He said, 50 years you've been saying Parshas Haman. I don't know exactly how old you are, how long you've been in business. Right? 50 years you've been saying Parshas Haman. He says, "Let me ask you, how many times in the last 50 years have your children gone to bed hungry? No dinner, no food, literally no food. How many times? How many times?" He asked him. The guy's going to, you know, "Tell me, how many times?" "Zero. Never happened. Not once. Baruch Hashem. Your children had food every night? Wow. Okay, it wasn't their favorite dinner. I didn't ask that. How many times?" He said, "Never." Right? He said, "How about breakfast? Your kids wake up in the morning. They're hungry. The mamish hungry. They're starving. There's nothing to eat in the house. Mamish, nothing." He said, never, right? Never. So he says, "How can you say garnish helfen?" He said, "What do you think the man was? The man was, you got a little breakfast in the morning. You got your dinner. You have dimyonos that, what, you say Parshas Haman and all of a sudden you win the Mega Millions. That's not what the man is. The man is living with Hashem day in and day out. Right? And the more you take is not the more you get. And the less you take is not the less you get. Everyone got the same Omer, Lagogolas, when you took the man, when you collected the man." So says Rav Asher Weiss, the idea of Parshas Haman, and this is the way that, again, that when the Shulchan Aruch says a person should say Parshas Haman every day, it's recorded in the Shulchan Aruch. Right? The Taz, the Mishnah Berurah explained, is not just saying it, but it's saying it with Kavanas Halev. It's bone in this Ba'amuna V'Hashkacha. To realize that if I have food to eat today, then I got the man today. Okay, maybe I didn't get it as a miraculous food at my doorstep. Right? But I got the man today. And doing more effort or less effort is not necessarily going to change how much man I collect. He tells a story, Rav Asher Weiss tells a story at the Rebbe of Zusha. Rebbe of Zusha of Anapoli, the brother of Melech, by the Melech of Lezhensk, in the mid-1700s. Yeah. The Rebbe of Zusha one time was sitting with a bunch of chevra, and they were all, you know, a little short in their money. They're trying to figure out, what are we going to do? So they said, "Oh, there's a rich fellow in the neighborhood. Why don't we go to his home? Maybe he'll help us out." "Okay, go collect a little." So the Rebbe of Zusha walks over to the door, and he places his hand, I guess it was like, you know, like a formal like door knocker on the door. Right? He places his hand on the knocker, and then he goes back to the base mattress. He didn't even knock. He goes back to the base mattress. So Chassid, what was that? You left before you even opened, you didn't knock. So he says, Rebbe said, yeah, I chesh before I saw. I know my level of amun and bitachon, and I know the appropriate amount of ishtadlis I need to do. So my ishtadlis was I needed to leave the base mattress, go to this big gvir's home, touch his doorknob, and then go back to the base mattress. And v'kachav, he says, that's what happened. So a couple minutes later, this big gvir came in, and he said, oh, you know, I see the chavir is learning. Does anyone need my assistance in any way? If I can ever be of help to anyone. And that was it. That's all he needed to do. That's all every Zusha needed to do in order to get the results. Right? Lav dafka, that a person does more and more and more, and he collects more. That's what we learn from the Man. And that's the Kabbalah Biyad Chacham, that a person who says Parshas Avon and understands what it means, that if I had food in the morning and food at night, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu was taking care of me. Okay, so I'd like a bigger house, I'd like a nicer car, I'd like to be able to do this or to that. But let's not kid ourselves, right? Lo Rizi Sadik Nezav. We're not Baruch Hashem. Most of us have never, probably in our lives, I don't want to make any assumptions, but I would imagine it's a fair assumption that most of us have never in our life, and if we have, God forbid, it was hopefully for a very short period of time, literally went to bed hungry at night. I can't think of one time in my life I didn't have my parents set aside, there's literally no food. I never had that. I'm 37 years old. I never once had that. So Kadosh Baruch Hu takes care of me. I could use a little more of this, a little more of that. Okay, true. Everyone feels that way. Balav dafka, a person who does more. There's a Gemara Nidan daf ayin. Just tell you one more line here from Rav Asher Weiss. The Gemara Nidan daf ayin says that they asked, Shalu anche Alexandria shal Mitzrayim is Rav Yeshua ben Chananya. They sent a delegation from Alexandria to ask Rav Yeshua ben Chananya, what should a person do if he wants to become rich? So Rav Yeshua ben Chananya said, Yarba b'schora, do a lot of business, v'yisa v'yitein be'emuna, and do your business dealings with emuna, v'yivakish v'misha osher shalom, and request from the one who the wealth is his. The Gra on that Gemara takes out the first verse. The Gra says, I don't think that yarba b'schor, I don't think should be there. He erases it. Nagos ha-Gra. Check it out. Nida daf ayinam ad-beis. The Gra takes out the phrase yarba b'schor, because the Gra felt, and again, what the Gra went through to make a emendation in the Gemara was Oyam Venora. He wasn't just like Stam, like, I want people to have more Amunah, so I'm just going to take a couple words out of the Gemara. But the Gra truly felt that Yarba Schor is not an authentic part of the statement. Because doing more business doesn't mean more money. Doing maybe Yarba Bischora Be'amunah, Yisav Yitim Be'amunah, maybe, right, be more involved in the Amunah in your business, maybe that'll bring you greater success. One of the six questions that were asked in the Olam Emes, the Gemara and Shabbos, and Daf Lamed Aleph, right, was Nasata v'natata be'amuna. Were you osek in your business dealings with amuna? Some of the tzaddikim, some of the Sfarim HaKadoshim explain, right, Nasata v'natata amuna is what we're doing right now. Right? Did you do business with amuna? Did you make a chabur of people to grapple over things of amuna? Right now we're doing business with amuna. This is the business of amuna. We're calling a meeting. Everyone's on the board. Everyone's invited to sit on the board. You're all chairman. You can all be whatever title you want to have. Right? And we're having a business meeting about Amunah right now. So the Gra says more doing doesn't produce more results, and just the opposite. The Rebbe Reb Zush, I'm not going to read it in time now, but in the Noam Elimelech and Parshas Bahar, when it describes Shemitah, it says that if a person is going to ask, what are we going to eat in the Shemitah year? How are we going to survive? So Hashem says, don't worry, I'll give you bracha for 3 years. The sixth year and the seventh year and after the post Shemitah year, 3 years of bracha. So Rebbe Reb Zusha says that bracha is a tragedy. You know why the bracha became limited to just 3 years? Because you asked, Ma Nocha, what are we going to eat? If you wouldn't have asked, you would have gotten even more. The fact that you panicked, the Kodesh Bracha had to create a new type of bracha, which is a big bracha, but it's a limited bracha. If you would have just gone with the Kodesh Bracha, then Hashem would have given you even greater shafa, greater bracha. So the Rebbe Reb Zusha, quoted by his brother, Rav Elimelech Lezhansky, the Noam Elimelech in Parshas Bahar says. So the avodah is that a person has to stay calm. A person has to not panic. A person has to realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the show. Let's see if we can quickly finish the list. I'll just paraphrase some of them if we have to. But I want to finish the 10 differences between the Baal Pitachon and the Alchemist. Number 5. Hachamishi. Shabbal HaKameya Tachas Yirav HaFachar HaMalachto Minagolu V'Alakotun Shabbam. The Baal Kameya is nervous. He's constantly frightened. He's nervous about people who are greater than him. He's nervous about people who are smaller than him. He just lives with fear. He's anxious. I don't know if it's illegal what he's doing. I mean, we tell him he's trying to be a drug dealer this whole time, right? I don't know what this guy is, what he's up to, but it sounds like he's very anxious. Not just that people are going to steal his business, right? But that he's going to get in trouble with different people, and it sounds like it's a little bit illegal, even though it can be very successful. But he's constantly nervous. He's nervous that his clients and the people who he does business with, he's very nervous. And the person who trusts in Hashem, he earns the respect of great people, of nichbedei b'nei adam, of exalted individuals. I don't know exactly what he means by this line, but he says even rocks and animals, even the inanimate objects and the animals of the world, right? They respond to him. The Baal Bitachon is at the center of the universe, and everything wants to do his will. The world is assisting him in achieving his life because he's connected to the Shorash of life. He's connected to Hashem.
Yaakov and the rocks.
Exactly. It's the animals acting perverse by Noach. When the world is perverse, the animals act perverse. When a tzaddik balir, the rocks align themselves for the tzaddik. That's right. They do the will of the tzaddik. That's correct. As is clear from Tehillim Tzadi Aleph, a whole list of things that won't affect the Baal Bitachom, those psukim over there in Eof. Vashishi, a sixth example. The Baal Kameya is not worried about illness, throwing everything off course. You could be the richest person in the world, and you wake up one morning and God forbid you have terminal cancer. And all the money and all your success you'll never enjoy. God forbid. He's not protected from the elements. He's not protected from illness. He's not protected from those aspects. He might be very successful. His business might be, he might have the exact amount of materials and he's able to produce and he has all the clients lined up and he's very successful. And suddenly, illness strikes and he loses everything in terms of his quality of life. Shema arvin alav simchaso ba'ashro. He can't enjoy. Causes a tremendous bilbul. He's not able to enjoy his wealth. Ve'inu manichano soleyanos v'mashi yesho. He can't enjoy that which he has. Ve'lo lis'anig v'mashi yisiga yado. And it's all gone. But the person who trusts in Hashem, no, what's he going to say? Never get sick? Yeah, you think I'll say that? Anyone here has ever been sick? Has a lack of bitachon? See, this is the challenge. This is why the Chazon Ish's approach is helpful and more challenging. This approach, I told you, the Chovos HaLevavos is more like Chassidus. The advantage of it is that, again, more bitachon, more everything. The more bitachon you have, the less sick you'll ever be. You'll never get sick. The downside is that you'll say, but I know Tzaddikim who got sick. Right? and that's hard for me. So what should I say? I wanted to say then that what? That they don't have bitachon. So of course there has to be an escape clause, right? Even within this mahalach in bitachon. What's the escape clause? It's the following. Havoteach v'Hashem batuach min amadvim v'chalayim. A person who believes in Hashem is protected from illness. With the exception, he could still have perfect bitachon and still get sick. Why would he get sick if he has perfect bitachon? El al derech hakapara. Right? Maybe he's done some averos in his life and he wants to pay them off in this world. So in terms of his bitachon, he shouldn't get sick. But Hashem is making him sick that he should suffer in this world to pay off his averos. Or al derech hatmura. Or it's what we call yisurim shel ava, and he'll exchange this suffering for even greater reward. Okay? So again, we never know the score. We can never... And our job is not to figure out the score. That's one of the things that's become more and more clear to me as you study the sugya of Amun and Bitachon. The goal is not to solve anything. We're not here to solve anything. I mean, we're not going to figure out, well, why did so-and-so die? Why did so-and-so get sick? Why did so-and-so suffer with their parnasa? Why did this one have success? We don't know. There's too many factors. We will never, ever be able to figure out exactly why this or why that. We can't. But what we can do is we could try to, again, ben adam la'atzmo, solidify ourselves. And if I feel that my bitachon is 100% and I'm going through a difficulty, okay, so I should say, no, Hashem is rewarding me. This should pay off my averos. Let's not kid myself. I do have some averos. There's a lot of different ways that I can, you know, make a cheshbon to explain why I'm going through what I'm going through. Okay? Seven. I'm skipping a couple of psukim. V'hashvi. I hope you can find it on the page. Vashvi Shabala Kameya Efshar Shol Yagia El Mizono Bamashiesh Atlom and Azov Akesef. Mibnei Shalo Yeha Ochel Nimtza Be'iro B'Ksasayitim. This is very sad. Sometimes this very wealthy guy, he's got gold, but there's no bread to be purchased with all of his gold. So he's prepared to trade a gold block for a slice of bread, but there's no bread. So can he eat the gold? He can't eat the gold. The Baal Bitachon will find a way to be given food. This is the tragic state of Kaspam Bechutzos Yashlich. He's throwing his money in the street. Right? Rachmana Litzlan, he's got all the money in the world, but he doesn't have food. He doesn't have clean water. So you can get stuck with a lot of money and still not have everything that you need. Vashmini. Shabal Kameya Einenu Misakiv B'Shum Makum Yiraso Shamiyas Galasoda. The alchemist is always on the move. He's afraid that what? People are going to figure out what he's up to. He doesn't have the Yishuva Das to remain in one place. The person who has Bitachon, with Menuchas and Nefesh, he can live in his place. He trusts in Hashem. He doesn't feel that he needs to hide anything or move from one place to the next. And that's a pleasure of the Baal Bitachon, that the alchemist, who's always running from, sounds like the government, is not able to have. Vatshi Shabala Kameya Lo Silavenu Hakimiya Shalobach Riso. Guess what? The alchemist, for all of his brilliance, can't take skill to the next world. It doesn't follow him to his achras, as opposed to the bitachon that a person has. Habotech v'Hashem chesed yisol v'avanu. He's surrounded by bitachon. It provides for him in this world and in the next world. And again, he's living for a world beyond this world, and that's much more beautiful than just having a skill that eventually will die with him when he dies. And last but not least, Asiri Shabala Kimia im yivada in yano. The bottom is, if he gets caught for this illegal activity, tiasibas mosa, that'll be the end of him. He will be killed. You know why? Because producing gold and printing your own money is going to throw off the entire economy, in theory. Right? And therefore the king wants him dead. He's throwing off the whole system of the world. And therefore the one in charge is going to come after him to try to kill him if his secret gets out. But the person who's botech b'Hashem, again, he's got nothing to hide from. The more people find out about him, the more people shower honor upon him. He's yigdal b'enei abrios, he's chashev in people's eyes, and tzadik yisod olam, he protects the world. That is, not only is he not a threat to the world, but he protects the world, he's protected from the world, and everything that he needs comes his way. I want to just end with one final vart on the topic of tshuva, because I mentioned on Shabbos that Chodesh Tammuz is a zman of tshuva, right? And therefore it's kedai to see this bitachon process also as part of the tshuva process in an interesting way. One of the aspects of bitachon that we need to have in tshuva is A, the bitachon that it works, right? And also to have a proper confidence in tshuva, to not be stressed out by tshuva. Again, many of us maybe are not fully engaged in the tshuva process at this point, certainly myself included. But Tammuz, the Svarim say, is Rashi Tevos Zmanei Tshuva Mamash Meshim Uba'im. Days of tshuva are rapidly approaching. Before you know it, it's going to be Elul, Tammuz, Av, Elul, and before you know it, it's Rosh Hashanah. Right? So there's a beautiful vart from Rav Yeshua of Belz, and I'll end with this, and then we'll have Marv. Rav Yeshua of Belz, the second Belz Rebbe, lived in the 1800s, passed away in 1894. Rav Shiel Belzer said the following vart. The Mishkan was a kapara for what? For Chede Egel. Trying to bring Hashem back into our life. That's what Bitachon is. Tshuva is about bringing Hashem back into your life. What happened when they were building the Mishkan? The Jews were bringing a lot of stuff. Right? And there was a tremendous desire, but maybe also a pressure to bring more and more and more and more. Until Moshe Rabbeinu said, whoa, hold on a second, it's too much. Right? It's Dayam V'Hoser, which I'm trying to figure out what does that mean. It's excessive and it's enough. Right? Well, if it's excessive, then it's more than enough. And if it's enough, then it's not excessive. Right? But Rav Shiel Belzer said, when the Jews were building the Mishkan, there was a certain fear. There was a certain fear that we have to do more, and we have to do more, and we have to do more, and we have to do more. And while on the one hand you can say, that's beautiful, they want to do more and more tshuva. But part of that is a lack of bitachon, a lack of emunah, a lack of menuchas hanefesh in the process called tshuva. To believe that if I do tshuva, it works. And I don't have to, feel the need to do excessive tshuva. And that's why Moshe and the tzaddikim of the generation said to those Jews, no, marbim ha'am lahavi, you're bringing too much. There's a danger even when a person is doing a good thing. Right? Bitachon has to be balanced in the right way. I could have bitachon in the way that's excessive. I could do tshuva in a way that's excessive. The goal again, the indicator is menuchas hanefesh. If I can serve Hashem and I can live with Hashem and I can try to constantly reconnect to Hashem, but to do it with peace of mind that I'm doing a good thing. If I become panicked in my avodas Hashem, if I become panicked in my olam hazeh pursuits, then something is off in my God awareness. So mirtzah Hashem, as we continue to learn the sefer, continue to have these amuna meetings, our amuna therapy sessions. Mirtzah Hashem, we should have the yishuv hadas that the tzaddikim are describing, and then we should live a life where HaKadosh Baruch was a part of it every step of the way. And mirtzah Hashem, in that way, we should all have exactly what we need.
Please
okay.
There's a lot.
Please enjoy.